everybody. Welcome back to another great edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard, joined as always by Tommy Johnson. Daniel Zollinger got a great win to go through. Well, I guess I'll say great. Other people might be suspect because it did take a while for the Tigers to get going, but they did take care of business against the UCLA Bruins with their first trip to Tiger Stadium. Going to get into that, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as anything else in college football that that stood out. But before we get into that, I want to check in with you guys as usual. Man, it was a hot one this weekend. You could definitely tell on TV looking at least the east side of the stadium, because holy cow, they were baking. There was like some health scares too. So a hot weekend overall. Hope everybody stayed cool. But how are you guys doing otherwise?
Hey, good to be with you. Good to be talking about an LSU win. Even though, like you said, Scott, I wouldn't call it a great win. I think you might, but
I'll take it.
It was a scorcher. And Daniel, I know we've been to a few like that. I was thinking about the Utah State game from 2019. That was, I mean, it was very similar, but looked miserable. I mean, the stands cleared out before halftime, pretty much, which I don't blame them.
In the sun, right?
In the sun.
Just to be clear, in the sun.
Yeah, which I don't blame them. I mean, I've been there, and I've totally understand it. But either way, excited to be talking about another week of college football with y'all.
Right. Good weekend with any weekend with an LSU win is a pretty good one. Got revenge for the beatdown that UCLA gave us a couple of years ago to start the season. We did it in our house. It would have been nice to have that Saturday night in Death Valley, but unfortunately the scheduling gods put it in the middle of the afternoon, right in time for the sun to be shining down. Wasn't too jealous of the people there for as long as they stayed. And it was nice watching on TV. LSU got the job done, which is positive, and it's crazy that the season's already a third of the way over with, regular season at least, and it's going by fast. But a lot of ups and downs, especially in the LSU camp so far, so it makes for good discussion at least.
Yep. And I saw something where there was like over 70 people that were like getting treated for, these conditions, whether it was a heat stroke or just whatever the case may be, but there are like 70 people being treated. And yeah, I agree with you, Tommy. I do not blame people for leaving or maybe just trying to find a place to stand on the other side of the stadium where the shade was. Cause yeah, those people were fine. They sat for probably the whole game. But yeah, I don't know. I think, and I've seen this a lot online, this is probably a talking point for those scheduling gods at B. Let's maybe not schedule a mid-afternoon game in Louisiana in September so that the sun is baking that side of the stadium. I mean, sunlight bouncing off of concrete. I mean, you're just cooking these people. You can screw us with the noon kickoff or just give us a night game so we can host UCLA and show them what a true Death Valley experience is all about. That's all we're saying. Anyway, just to get back into the game itself, I know you don't agree it was a great game. I mean, I'm just trying to sell up here, but I thought it was a really great show for Garrett Nussmeier. Again,
yep.
Dude's tearing. I mean, he's got to set some record before the season's over. I just know it. But, I mean, he can't do it all by himself. We definitely need some help with the run game. We can talk about that when we break down offense and defense. But I think overall the Tigers showed improvement, right? Most importantly, on the defensive area. Now, it took them a while to finally extend their will, but, they didn't score in the second half. So that was great. They had, a few takeaways? What, three, four takeaways? I think we saw improvement from last week, which I think last week was an improvement from the week before. So we're seeing improvement. That's all we ask. We're not going to turn this into 2007's defense in 2 weeks, folks. Probably not by the season's end, but at least we can get better each week because we're definitely going to need it against the rest of our schedule. Other than that, yeah, I don't know. Obviously still some holes on defense, but We made it through. We build on to next week. So hopefully they weren't looking ahead to South Alabama for that first half, but eventually we found our footing, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tale of two halves. That second half was very, very good for us. First half, not so much. I mean, I think you're right on the offensive side. Nussmeier has, over the past, the entire season, he's been a really solid quarterback. And I've really liked what I've seen out of him. Obviously Kyron Lacy has been, his go-to target, and that was on display. I liked how he spread the ball around. Aaron Anderson got a few tosses his way. I thought that, obviously you wanted to see a little bit more out of the running game after what Durham had done previously against South Carolina. Didn't get to see that as much, but not, I guess that's still a work in progress. On the defensive side of the ball, the one thing that I noticed that I was really excited about was the amount of like turnovers we were forcing, and kind of like bigger plays. Kind of, it felt like we were getting to the ball a lot more than we have over the past, 3 weeks or so. But overall, I would just say, this is still the UCLA team that, who'd they get? Was it in Northern Illinois or something that they got dusted by? We weren't playing the best competition we're going to face this year, and we struggled with them and really, went toe to toe with us for really 2.5 quarters. I have concerns that, we're not building anything sustainable right now with the way we're playing.
Yeah, definitely wasn't a dominating performance, which is what everyone was hoping for going in. We wanted to see signs of life after lackluster showings versus really all three opponents so far this year: USC West, USC East, and Nichols in the middle. And we did have some incremental improvement in this game, but it wasn't amazing. I think the biggest thing for me, which I was happy about, was that it was an overall cleaner game. We allowed zero sacks, which is something that we've been pretty consistent on with the solid offensive line that we have. Far fewer turnovers, which was a good sign. Only 5 turnovers for 22 yards. Before, we've had some penalties killing drives, extending drives for opponents, and generally just wreaking havoc on our game plan. And then finally, the turnovers, like you mentioned, Tommy, we didn't give the ball to UCLA at all, 0 turnovers. And then we won that battle on the defensive side with 1 interception and 1 fumble. And it's well known that I think in the NFL, like, the team that wins the turnover battle wins the game like 75% of the time. Obviously, yeah, it helps to have the ball more than your opponent. So if we can keep that going and continue to wreak havoc, especially on their quarterback, with an improved defensive line that we're seeing, then hopefully we can continue to have success. Although there were definitely negatives mixed in there, our running game is still a work in progress. They didn't go full tilt to one hand or the other, keeping the running back by committee with Josh Williams, Caleb Jackson, and Caleb Durham, Caden Durham, excuse me. And then, yeah, the defensive secondary, especially, we all know that's a weak spot of our game. And then finally, the injuries with Harold Perkins, yeah, exiting, and there no report out. That'll probably come tomorrow on Monday. So we'll see his status. And then Zy Alexander got banged out with a concussion. Emory Jones was in the tent for a while too, and so we continue to see some attrition there. So hopefully our guys can get healthy, at least make it through the South Al game and have 1 week to rest up. So yeah, definitely pluses and minuses, but overall on the whole, I was pleased, and hopefully we can continue to improve from here.
Yep, yeah, I'd say it's a good thing. Sorry, go ahead, Tommy.
I was just going to say, you hit it with that. You hit it with that injuries part. I mean, Harold Perkins, we don't know the full story yet, but they say it's a knee injury. He kind of limped off. Gosh, you just got to hope that it's a something real minor, but I'm not sure.
Right. Hopefully, but I don't know how to say this. I mean, it's not like we were leaning on him and he was like the crux of our defense.
We were thinking we might be better without him.
Right. True. Well, we wanted him to be. We were hoping he would be. We gave him the 7 for crying out loud. I mean, just based off of year one, I think we're all still thinking there's a much higher ceiling. And he's not going to go from first to second gear. He's going to go from like first to fourth. So, yeah, this injury is bad. But hey, let's see what else, because they said, oh, we're going to figure out how to use them. Well, okay, well, now you have South Alabama to figure out how to use somebody else. So
yeah,
go for it. But what I will say, I agree with you. I mean, just on top of what I said about Nuss, I mean, the guy's just tearing it up. And I think we all knew he was capable of something. I don't know what everyone had him in their sights for 2024, but I mean, he's doing what I thought he was going to do, which was pass a lot. I think he's been very good. Like he's, I mean, the only times we felt unsafe was in the South Carolina game. I mean, luckily, those ended up just being picks or they were called back or whatever, but still, I mean, the guys obviously worked on his game and yeah, it would be great if we had a running game to go along with it. I mean, you see Josh Williams out there had some good runs. This kind of like Durham had the game before against South Carolina, but it's like, it's the exception and not the rule. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of goes back to our offensive line, which we thought was going to be a strength for us, but it's, I don't know.
It's really makes not no enough sense. Of
a run game, but you, it's yeah, like, you think why? A guy passing for 300 yards each game would open up the run, but
well that, and it's like, you have this offensive line that has what are, I mean, they showed the graphic. These are like, we have two out of the top 10, maybe even top five offensive tackle or offensive line prospects in this coming NFL draft. Mm-hmm. It's like, but they can't run block. Like what is our problem? Like, I don't understand it. And I think that really it comes back to something we've talked about for a couple weeks now, and even for a couple of years now, this LSU team, I mean, really since 2019, it just lost our edge. We're not as physical as we used to be, but either side of the ball. And maybe that's, you know, I'm sure. And I think some of that is probably like just the way college football is going. But the, you know, it's a lot more of a finesse game than it was, we'll just say 10 years ago, but even still, I watched a bunch of games yesterday and there's some physical teams out there. I mean, you see Tennessee playing with our former, you know, former prospects, Lance Hurd. There's some people who are out there, you know, I mean, they're able to run the ball and they're able mm-hmm. to with a Dutchtown product. What's that guy's name? Dylan Sampson.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, it's always hilarious when you see these guys who are like tearing it up and then they're like, yeah, oh, that guy's from Louisiana. That guy's from, he's from West Monroe. He's from New Orleans. So that's always cool. But, I mean, they're able to run the ball and so it's not like it's the only, it's not like, oh, like it's a bygone thing. Like, I don't know what's up with this team, with this group we have.
Right.
Is it Davis or Sloan, do you think?
I would tend to say, no, it's not Davis. I mean, you know, he's been the one who people have said like, oh, he's going to revolution. Maybe it's one of those things where he just needs more time, or maybe, you know, I like Joe Sloan I feel like I like him as a play caller. I don't know. It's a good question, Scott. But I don't really know if I have an answer. There's been a lot of this season just hasn't, a lot of this team has not made sense to me yet. I feel like I'm not seeing it clearly.
Yeah. One thing that was pretty impressive yesterday though, and something we didn't really expect to be super great, was the defensive line performance, getting to the quarterback, putting Ethan Garbers in tough situations as they rang up, I think, 5 sacks, 2 of those from Braden Swenson, who's having a really good year so far. He got Harold Perkins' number 4 from last year, and he's turned into the player that we were hoping that Perkins himself would be. And then some good production as well. Savion Jones, I think, forced a fumble, and then some guys in the middle, JVR Suggs, and a couple of them, even Dominic McKinley, the true freshman 5-star from Lafayette, got in there and recorded a sack towards the end of the game. And this is a line that already lost starter Jacoby Guillory earlier in the season. So I got to give some shout outs to D-line coach Bo Davis and putting good work in there and taking a little bit of the pressure off our secondary and linebacking core that's both depleted in terms of injuries and some would say talent as well, as they got picked on yet again. Especially Ashton Stamps had a bit of a rough day in some spots. And then the safeties are, I wouldn't say even necessarily SEC caliber, between Major Burns, Sage Ryan, Jordan Gilbert, and then the other kind of rotational players. So hopefully that can continue to to be a point of emphasis where we attack the quarterback, throw them off balance, and then let guys like Whit Weeks, who has been pretty impressive, start to come downhill and fill the gaps a little bit. And we saw that definitely in the second half as UCLA was starting to play catch up and their offensive game plan was not as effective. And it feeds back into the offense too. If you can generate turnovers, then you give your offense more chance to score, which is going to be crucial going into the SEC play.
Yeah, I'd say we could still work on our red zone offense as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just – it's like we can march the length of the field. What was it? Two of our drives were over 90 yards, which, I mean, yeah, we scored both times, touchdowns, I think. But still, it's just I don't know, last week especially, it was just something still issue with the red zone. But perhaps that comes down to the issue we talked about earlier, running, which we have issue doing. Although Josh Williams did look good, at least once we got down to the goal line. But I'd say some of the plays on defense, man, it's like LSU does good for the first two downs. I'd call it third and Chavis, but he's no longer here. But it's like we give it up even when it's like third and 11, third and 15. Our defensive secondary is just letting us down on the great work the defensive line is starting to show. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I wonder how it will look, you know, without Perkins there. If it's just the Alabama game or beyond, remains to be seen. But yeah, I don't know. There is just some funky things. LSU, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like we've cut down on some of our self-inflicted wounds, like penalties and other things like that. I mean, that one interception Gilbert had, he was just right place, right time. But maybe that's what comes with it, you know? Just forcing them to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we needed more of South Carolina, was forcing them to beat us through the air. They didn't. They just gassed us with runs. But, yeah, in the second half, they had to beat us through the air, and they couldn't. So more of that, please. That's what I'll say. I'd say special teams, fine. No notes, really. I mean, it's nothing extra there.
Yeah, Ramos continues to kick pretty well. He doesn't have a super long leg, which just kind of forces into a few situations kind of in the 40 to 30-yard line where we have to be a little bit more aggressive. But yes, pretty solid. And then one guy, shout out to Kyle Parker, who had an awesome hookup with Garrett Nussmeier on the 45 yard touchdown pass, where Nussmeier put it on a dime right where only Parker could catch it, hauled it in and made the extra effort dive to score the touchdown. So that was cool to see. And then Aaron Anderson as well really has evolved into that role, I guess you could say, is like wide receiver 1B to Kyron Lacy, where he's that speedy slot receiver. Mm-hmm. And showing a lot of talent both with his hands, pretty sure-handed, as well as his speed there and ability to get into space kind of through the seam. So glad that he's evolved into the player that we were hoping he could be. Which we need those options, and maybe Chris Hilton is back for another deep threat next week. He was supposed to be ready to go this game, but we didn't see him. So I wouldn't rely too heavily on that, but may give us another option.
How long does a bone bruise last? I mean, I'm just really unfamiliar with it. It seems like, I don't know. I think we're kind of past the point of where they would be, you know, fluffing stuff just to keep something else under wraps. Right? Because obviously it's the whole thing with Trey Holly going on. They've been fairly upfront. So I guess I'm just dumbfounded by the whole bone bruise lasting four now going on 5 weeks. So I don't know.
I don't know either, but I'm not sure how much that makes a difference. Like our passing game has been decent and pretty good, or, you know, actually pretty good. And so having, like Daniel said, having the downfield threat of Hilton, which, you know, you talk about his speed as being his number one asset, is obviously great, but I'm not necessarily sure that having him on the field suddenly turns us into, you know, I don't know if we win.
Yeah, and it's not our area of weakness either, really. We could use help elsewhere.
It's not like Leonard Fournette's coming off of the injured list as probable. You know, it's like getting Leonard Fournette back, that would be amazing to this team right now. But anyway, I would say looking forward. Yeah, next week it's a good time to, well, improve. I don't say we should just tinker around and just work on some trick, you know, what stuff we would need to, we haven't had a chance to use yet. No, I'd say attack him as anybody else. maybe this week it'll be my third time in a row, but I'm asking for 35-0 at half. Maybe we'll get it. Probably not. But I think it'd be great to see LSU just dominate and play all phases of the game as we know they can. Right.
This is, I mean, this is our last kind of, not effort, but last test we have, you know, and warm up tune up that you have before you play one of the best teams in the country right now in number six, Ole Miss. Now, you know, Ole Miss is going to be at home. I presume it's going to be a night game. And I still think that, well,
it's I'm not as confident. 2:30 kickoff.
yeah. Well, actually that could be, who knows? But, I think that there's a, I was more confident in our, you know, going into the season. I thought like Ole Miss was gonna be our toughest game of the year, but that we could, you know, we'd be able to compete. I'm a little bit less optimistic now just with the way after watching us play so far, but even still, like, I think that this team has talent to compete and in the SEC, and at home, you know, at night in Tiger Stadium, crazy things can happen. And I that would be an incredible win for us, but I mean, you got 2 weeks, you got the South Alabama game and you got a bye week, to prepare for Ole Miss. And I'm hoping that they're taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a 7:45 PM Eastern kickoff. So it'd be 6:45, LSU time on the SEC network. So hopefully the fans,
South Alabama.
Yes. Excuse me. So hopefully the LSU fans will be in full attendance Saturday night in Death Valley. And yeah, like you said, Scott, we had that game where we were saying like, all right, let's put in the second string, the third string. We had that in Nichols, and that wasn't exactly a resounding success. So yeah, we need to keep the starters in, build a strong lead, and secure the win. We're actually favored by less points against South Alabama than we were against UCLA, which the closing line was like 22 against UCLA, and it's 20.5 right now against South Al. So Vegas has seen the Tigers play, that we've seen them. LSU's 0-4 against the spread this season. We haven't covered a single game, and I'm not super confident that even that we cover the 20.5 against South Al, but just get a win, try and look pretty good doing it. They have a decent dual threat quarterback in I had his name right here,
Lopez.
Gio Lopez. And who set, they did lose a game where he was sitting out, but yeah, he's decent in both the air and on the ground. And then they have a pretty good running back as well, Bothwell, Fluff Bothwell. So they're probably going to put up a few points, and knowing our defense, that's likely from both ends as well. So we just need to rely on Nussmeier and the offensive attack that we've developed so far to match and exceed that pace. I do think we get the win, but maybe a little bit closer than LSU fans would hope for, which is kind of the theme so far from this season. So something similar to UCLA, I would say like 35-14 for LSU. I guess that's a pretty big win actually. So I'll cut that down, 35-21, excuse me. And yeah, just get out of there and move on to the 7-game SEC slate yet to come, because that'll be a gauntlet for any team.
I'm going to choose not to learn my lesson, and I'm going to push LSU higher. I'm going to say 52-17.
Ooh,
that's a lot of points.
Yeah,
it's a lot of points. I actually, Scott, I like where your head's at though. I think this is a high scoring affair. I think that Nussmeier is going to go out there and hurl it, and we're going to have, you know, and let's say Chris Hilton's back. I think he's going to want to go deep. So I think LSU puts up, I'll say 42 points. But I think that also our defense, probably Harold Perkins, we probably will not see Harold Perkins, regardless of his status, whether or not he's, you know, out for the season, or if he's just fine, you know, resting. Like, why would you play him? Mm-hmm. So I think that defense is going to be an issue for us, as it's been the whole season. So I think we give up like 28 and we win. Well, I'll say 42-28. LSU wins. They do not cover. But the over does hit. So I might take the over.
Yeah, South Alabama definitely should not overlook. They put up 87 on Northwestern State, who is one of the worst teams in the country, but still 87 is a lot in a college football game.
Yeah, sure.
So, and well, ESPN, their FPI, which is not like the end all be all, but they only give LSU a 79% chance to win this game, which is kind of surprisingly low. Like, you're basically saying one out of every five against South Al, you lose. So that's kind of scary odds, and crazy things can happen, but I think we do get the win regardless of how good it looks.
Right. And speaking of 80 points and just crazy things happening, did y'all see the UNC?
Yes.
Madison? Holy cow. That's what, I mean, God, I mean, they're hurting. Like, they've lost what, they're on QB number three now, lost Max Johnson the first game, lost their other guy. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Imagine if, I mean, I think Louisiana would just still be head swirling if LSU lost to, say, South Alabama next. Like, if our program was that bad.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we lost to Troy. Don't forget about that.
Right.
I know, but that was like with our starters. We weren't on QB number three. That was just Tommy, why you got to bring that up, man?
Hey, but the one and only Ed Orgeron said that that was the moment that set up for 2019. So,
right.
Whatever. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, where is he at? He's at Destin now. So,
yeah. Right. So any other games this week? I don't know. I think before we started recording, Tommy, you mentioned the Tennessee-Oklahoma game, which was, you know, a field goal contest for the most of it. But Oklahoma kind of came back towards the end, or tried to. I'd say Michigan, they've made the polls interesting now because they beat USC, which, depending on which poll you look at, we're either right behind them or right behind them and USC. You know, it's like we're hovering right around that playoff cusp. So I think from here on out, if that's what our goal is, then yeah, we can't be struggling with Nichols and UCLA. But I don't know, maybe everybody else is not as good as they look either.
Yeah, I feel like that was a tough loss for us though.
True. It was.
You would have liked USC to go out there and, you know, skull drag Michigan at the big house and then make our loss look more quality. I think that you're right though. Like, in this new system with the new 12 team playoff, it probably doesn't matter as much as it did. So it's honestly, I'm still surprised that we're number 14 in the nation. Like, I don't feel like we're, you know, close to a top 10 team. But you know, I think that's got to your point. Maybe that shows that you know, we're not in there aren't a ton of elite teams right now.
Yeah. There's certainly high quality at the top. When you look at teams like Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, you mentioned Tennessee and Ole Miss plus Bama, like they've been pretty much running the show every week. And then there's a bit of a drop off after that to, I guess, kind of the mid tier teams, like you mentioned, USC, Michigan, Missouri had some difficulty going to overtime against Vanderbilt, who we still have on the schedule this year. We say Vanderbilt's supposed to be the pushover, and they're taking top 10 teams to overtime and maybe should have won that game, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, I don't really know if, given the product we've seen on the field at this point, if you can say LSU is the 14th best team in all the land. Until we lose again, then it's, I guess the spot could be warranted.
Is Ohio State warranted at number three though? They've played Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall.
Yeah, they have played well against pretty terrible opposition, but they do have tough tests remaining. Michigan, they play Oregon, they play Penn State. So if they're pretenders more than contenders, that'll get itself sorted out moving forward here. This past weekend, yeah, I mentioned the Missouri game. I was happy that Tulane beat UL. That was kind of a close one for in-state teams in Louisiana. And then BYU, the Mormons put the thumping on Kansas State late night. So maybe they're for real and want to make a run in a Big 12 that's kind of wide open, especially now that Oklahoma State lost to Utah with their backup quarterback. So Utah always kind of makes things interesting, but they never quite get there. So we'll see if they actually are somebody real or not.
Mm-hmm. And what, Missouri had to win in overtime against Vandy. So my dark horse is still in it, thank goodness. I don't know. Other things that went on. I mean, Ole Miss, you know, they took care of business. That's, but again, who have they really played yet? Although I'd say Ohio State's probably next 5-game stretch. It is pretty tough. So if they come out of that unscathed, then I will be happily, I will accept that they are a third ranked team. But yeah. Until then, I don't think so. The world beaters of Northern Illinois lost to Buffalo. Then I don't know, Tommy, I think your Heisman pick with Miami, they struggled for a little bit, but then they pulled way out ahead. So I think your ticket's still kind of eager to win. And
shout out to Coach Prime with a good win against Baylor overtime.
Right. Yeah, they had to cash in the Hail Mary on the last play of regulation just to get it there, which was kind of crazy, but the Prime magic works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, that dude sold something. I'm not saying his soul, but he sold something. I don't know. You had Arch Manning with Texas. He looked like maybe first true start, but, I mean, they still blew him out, Monroe.
Yeah, you all only scored 4 points, but they did pick off Arch twice, so at least there's that.
Yeah.
Did you see the quote where it was like, where he was telling all his teammates that, yeah, like, I already beat everybody in Monroe when I was in New Orleans, so, like, don't worry about this.
Right. That's funny. Yeah, I'd say other than that, well, I did want to ask you guys about this because I saw it this week and I was like, this is really where we're headed. Okay. Tennessee has now decided to add like a NIL surcharge to their ticket prices. I hope this doesn't spread far and wide, but chances are it might. But yeah, they're basically adding in an additional fee that they are going to, I guess, give out. I don't know if this was disclosed, but they're just going to give out to their players. So they're putting more on the ticket prices to pay players. I don't know.
I actually do see that spreading more and more because LSU, I know it's like this, and I think most other major schools where they kind of have the season ticket holders by the throat in terms of your ticket allocation because you have to accumulate kind of priority points over a number of years. And with the season ticket that you buy, you pay the ticket price itself, but then there's also another donation to the school's athletic foundation that the TAF in LSU's case, that's pretty much equal to or even greater than the cost of the ticket itself. So it kind of doubles your price. And then if you're trying to resell the ticket to somebody else, that's not something you can cash in on, like, because you can't be like, the ticket says $100, but you need to pay me $200 because I donated $200 to the TAF. It doesn't really work like that. And so it would be so easy to say the ticket price is $100 plus $100 TAF donation plus $10 NIL donation. And if you don't accept, then your season tickets are gone and then given to somebody else. Because if you lose them, then it's very hard to regain that through the long waiting list and the accumulation of priority points. So you said Tennessee's doing it. Once these dominoes start to fall, I can definitely see that spreading to other schools, especially in the SEC and those who want to compete at that national scale. Maybe this won't happen at Louisiana Tech or something because they're not going to be pulling in 5-star recruits. But the LSU fans are crazy and they want to see them win. So maybe they'll cough up a few extra dimes in their pocketbook. I don't say I love it, but it might happen.
No, I think you're right. I think that, you know, they're – it's in some ways that it's like we said, Daniel, with the TAF donation, like they've been doing this already. I feel like it's just moving money around. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they'll slap another fee on there and people will still buy it. And it's unfortunate, but you know, you'd like to think that what if TAF just took less and then, you know, they just took some of that money and gave it to,
Who knows where that money goes?
The TAF money? Oh, I know. I mean, they built that whole collective thing as like that is like, I'm like, what does TAF do anymore then? I guess TAF is like for the program.
It's the way I see any non-profit out there. It's like there's so many operational costs. It's like if you take in $1 million, $750,000 of it probably goes to operations, paying people to run it. And yeah. You got to have events to bring in other donors, and they put all this money
marketing and cool swag. All
and it's going, bags. It's going to all the non-revenue generating sports like tennis and swimming and diving and stuff. Yeah, because it's all under like the one TAF roof. And I know the university kind of funds some of that, but they got to pay for the money or pay for it somehow. And unfortunately, football is the number one revenue generator.
Call me old fashioned. I say, can we just use like pass around a collection plate or have like tip jars either outside the stadium, in the end zone, on the concourse, or on the dugout if it's baseball season? I'm like, hey, give the guy his due if he had a good game, but charging everyone on their tickets. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I don't like.
Now that's an idea. Can you imagine if it was like an app or at a baseball game, it'd be cool. Like if, like you said, just having like a little jar on top of the dugout, like Tommy Tanks hits a home run. All right, let's throw some change in there. Like that was awesome. Yeah.
Or like some pinch hitter freshman that no one knows about yet. But yeah. You know, if you follow baseball, you've probably heard of, but yeah, he comes in, walks off a pinch hit home run to win the game.
Yeah.
Come on, dudes. His jar is going to be overflowing that day.
That'd be awesome.
It'll be like at the coffee shop when they flip the iPad around and try and get you to sign on like 30% tip. Yeah, Tommy White trots home after the home run, and then the manager comes out of the dugout with the iPad, and he walks up to the fans in the front row and holds it up, and then they sign their signature for a quick $1,000 check.
Yep. Might as well. Anywho.
What about
– who knows?
About
I mean, we joke about it, but could be a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, what else, guys? Because I think we've kind of covered everything except, you know, what's ahead of us.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about next week on college football? We got the game of the year so far. Georgia going to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama, the only team that's beat them in the last 3 years.
Yep. I mean, that one is, you know, position A1. I'll be watching Texas A&M Arkansas, like that one. Probably turn on Ole Miss Kentucky just to do a little scouting because that's our, you know, our next big opponent. Notre Dame Louisville could be interesting. I think I like Louisville in that game. But I would say, I mean, everyone should be gearing up for that Alabama Georgia game. It's going to be great at Alabama. I'm sure game day is going to be there. Mm-hmm. And
they've already decided. Yeah,
they have. Okay, good.
Yeah.
And so, who do we like in that game? Georgia, Bama.
The odds think it's close. I think it's Alabama -1 right now. So basically a dead heat. Alabama's been playing well, although somehow something tells me that Georgia is going to win this, even though Alabama's had their number a little bit other than the national championship game from 2 years ago.
I wish I could agree because normally I would, but I don't know. I mean, Georgia always starts kind of – or they – not always, but they do have a history of starting slow and then turning it on. But going into Tuscaloosa – wait, was it a day game or a night game?
6:30.
Okay, it's a night game. I don't know. But I'd say – I just think Alabama could edge him out by like
– I think I kind of like Alabama too.
3 or 7 points, yeah.
Something tells me this Georgia team is not by no means is this a bad Georgia team. I mean, they're great, but this is not the world beater Georgia teams that we've seen over the past couple of years. I don't think this is a back-to-back team. I don't think this is, I think I like Alabama. I think Jalen Milroe, I like him. He was an early Heisman pick I think they're going to take care of it, and that'll shake up the polls, make things real interesting. Might end up trading places.
Because if it's a close game and one team barely wins, it's like you can't really fault them that much. Yeah. So you'd stay top five even with a loss as long as you look pretty good doing it.
Especially on the road.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun considering that Georgia hasn't lost a regular season game since 2020 November when they lost to Florida, which is kind of crazy that it's been almost 4 years since they lost a regular season game.
Man, I don't even remember that loss. You said that was 2020?
Yeah, November 2020 against Florida. Since then, they lost to Alabama 2 times in the SEC championship, and those are their only 2 losses.
Wow.
Yeah. But hey, Florida turned things around.
Yeah, the fighting Billies, they cooled his seat off a little bit somehow. And then in the Dan Mullen Bowl.
I mean, hey, don't worry, that seat's still warm.
Mm-hmm. Also, what about Arkansas taking care of business in Auburn, making Auburn fans real sad? 4 interceptions. Things are not looking good for Mr. Freeze right now.
Hey, don't sleep on Sam Pittman. I mean, that's why I've got that. That's why I'm looking at that Texas A&M Arkansas game. I think Arkansas could go into Kyle Field and knock off a ranked A&M team, especially a ranked A&M team that is, you know, having a lot of changes and trying to put together the pieces that Jimbo left over.
Bowling Green almost went into a College Station, and I mean, they gave him a hell of a game. I think it was, I mean, this is like 2 weeks in a row bowling. I mean, they I think their record's still below 500, but Bowling Green has played some teams tough already. Oh, by the way, earlier you mentioned UCLA. They got blown out, dusted, you said. Sorry. Indiana.
Yeah, that's what it was. Illinois is the team that beat Notre Dame.
Right, right. Yeah. Who just lost. So it's all transitive property related, which is all going to be brought back into the playoffs, which is why every win is important.
True.
So, yeah, even if South Carolina was ugly, we still got it. Anywho, I think that was about it.
I agree.
I think so. I think that wraps it up. Week 4, right? So,
tune in Saturday night. Hopefully the LSU wild ride will take another positive turn.
Yep.
Amen. And we will have it for you either way, right here on Talking Tig. So until then, I won't say safe. I'll say stay cool. Stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.